John the Baptist didn't just say it one time, he said it three times. I am not Messiah. Let me reiterate those words. I am not Messiah. Brad Pitt is not Messiah. Tiger Woods is not Messiah. George W. Bush is not Messiah. John Kerry is not Messiah. The Republicans are not Messiah. The Democrats are not Messiah. Capitalism is not Messiah. Democracy is not Messiah. The Constitution is not Messiah. The Supreme Court and law are not Messiah. Joe Gibbs is not Messiah. In a Washington Times article, was pointed out how hesitant Joe Gibbs is to be in the spotlight and how difficult it has been. Because he does not want himself to be the center of attention. He wants his players to get the attention. It's not right, really, he said. As a humble man, he doesn't want to call himself into people's central view of the importance of the football team. He's sheepish about the accolades he receives. Even on opening day, Gibbs sent the team out, but he quietly went through the crowds, so the crowds did not have an opportunity to give him acknowledgement. After the game was over and they won, he gave out 53 game balls saying thank you to the team. Bill Parcells is not Messiah either. We do not need to tell teenagers and parents of a need for Messiah at the time that they are discovering the tension in the home. We do not need to tell the parents that the teenagers in their rebellion are not Messiah. We do not need to tell the teenagers who have already discovered that their parents are not Messiah. However, during the teen years, both the teens and the parents both know they need a Messiah to come and intervene in the house. I had lunch with Rabbi Kushner a few years back, the author of Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. I was seated next to him, and I turned to him because I knew I didn't have much time. I said, "What do you think about Jesus?" He said, "Wow, you don't waste any time, do you?" He surprised me with his statement. He said, "Jesus is the only human being that ever got it all right." I said, "Wow, that's a pretty high esteem for Jesus." He says, "I do have high esteem for Jesus." I said, "Let me guess. It would be too much for you to say that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God." And he said, "That's a bridge too far." Who is Messiah? Israel's expectation of Messiah were clearly articulated by the prophet Isaiah. A human being anointed by God to bring good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captive, that the Lord's favor would be shown in his life. He would bring the day of vengeance of God. He would comfort all who were mourning. He would give garlands instead of ashes to people in death. He would praise people who have faint hearts and lift them up. He's a great light to be seen in darkness. He was a great lawyer who would liberate and defeat enemies, a judge who would bring justice, a physician who heals, a prince who brings peace, a king who establishes eternal government, a prophet who speaks God's voice, a counselor who brings comfort. But to confuse things, Isaiah also says that there will be a suffering servant. Israel did not expect Messiah to be a suffering servant. Who is Messiah? There are many among us today who want a Messiah who comes with vengeance, who comes to settle accounts as an enraged God who comes back to earth to clean up things. We want a kind of Clint Eastwood Messiah. A Terminator Messiah, a Wyatt Earp Messiah. We like that bumper sticker who says, "Jesus is coming back and he's," brackets, "angry." Some believe for Jesus to be a true Messiah, he has to have a personality change. He's gone from the gentle Jesus to the Terminator Christ. Angry people seem to want an angry Messiah. Someone to make sure that they can get even. But Max Dupree, in his book, Leadership as an Art, says that leaders are not called to inflict pain. Leaders are called to bear pain. Leaders should pattern themselves after the Messiah, who's the suffering servant, the servant leader. Sometimes our Messiah, in our expectations, we have the wrong view of Messiah. Sometimes we have too high an expectation that someone will measure up to be Messiah. I saw a cartoon of pastor nominating committee seated around a table and looking quite frustrated and disillusioned. And one of them looks out the window and sees a young man walking across the lake on water, carrying a Bible in his hand with a big smile on his face. He says, "I think we found our pastor." I don't walk on water. Sometimes in our unrealistic expectations, we in America are very focused on the personality. We worship our heroes and our athletes and our musicians. We have messianic substitutes. Even to the point that we will tolerate in a pastor or a primary leader moral lapse because they have great charisma, because they have marvelous gifts, because they can preach a wonderful sermon, or they can bring the money in or bring the crowds together. We too often choose charisma over character. Unrealistic messianic expectations. Sometimes our expectations are grandiose. We look forward to the new leader coming and we think this one's going to make everything right, make sense of all of our confusion, teach us the right theology, repair all of our brokenness, mend our wounds and our wrists, bring joy in all of our sadness, provide for all of our needs, make all the people do the right thing, reconcile all the divisions, resolve all the conflicts, solve all the problems, satisfy all our desires, answer all of our questions, straighten all of our crookedness, order our chaos, smooth our rough spots, level the playing fields, comfort all fear, find all loss, and explain all the mysteries. It just won't happen that way. People have come to me in the past, and these are people who have been Christians for many years, who know the Bible, and they will still come to me and say, "Pastor, what do we believe about Jesus?" And I will turn to them and say, "What do you believe about Jesus?" "Oh, well, I'm not an authority on Jesus." I said, "How long have you been walking with him?" "Well, you're the pastor." Or they come to me and say, "Pastor, pray for me, you're closer to God." Implied in that is, you're God-like and I'm not. Or sometimes the pastors bring that kind of adoration and esteem on themselves. The person who walks into the pastor's office and says, "I want to lead a Bible study," and the pastor turns to the person and says, "You see all these books behind me? When you study all these books and you know them, you'll be prepared to lead a Bible study." Sometimes we pastors are so wrapped up on our own grandiosity. Grandiose expectations that are unrealistic, romanticized, and inflated. Personal narcissism is a huge problem in American leadership. People who are so needy to have the adoration and the attention that they can't share the power. Sometimes people in the congregation develop the wrong expectations about the person who's going on their behalf. When I left Bethlehem and I said I was going to the National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., they had many statements they wanted me to go with as their commissioning. "You're the right man for the job. You are our man in D.C. You go get him, Tiger. We need someone like you to set those people straight. You tell it like it is. Wow, what a mess. You can fix it. We're sending you to clean up that town. Don't let the snakes get you. We're counting on you. Give them hell. The one I love the most, though. We're sending you from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Be careful. You know what they did to Jesus in Jerusalem. Messianic expectations. The messianic complex of the leader. I'm always right. I don't need anyone else. I don't need your advice. I don't need your counsel. I'm in charge here. I don't need to be accountable to you. I give the orders. I do the talking. I make the decisions. In a book called The Addictive Organization by Ann Wilson Schaaf and Diane Fassel, they clearly state in research that organizations take on the personality of their chief leader. That's a scary thought. Either for good or for ill, organizations tend to live into the addictive patterns or the healthy patterns of their leadership. If the organization is led by a Napoleonic complex person, the organization tends to become addicted to that personality if they're going to survive. Pete Scazzaro, a senior pastor of a large church in Brooklyn, discovered that he was calling too much attention to himself, that he needed the people to need him. And so he came to an awareness in his life that it was not healthy in his discipleship to have the people so dependent upon him. So he wrote the book, The Emotionally Healthy Church, and says, it was not good that I needed to be the center of everything in the church. It is not good to be the Messiah because I'm not. We can have disappointments with the real Messiah. Sometimes our messianic expectations can be misplaced. Even John the Baptist, who was the first to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, was the first to doubt, and he sent emissaries to Jesus when Jesus wasn't performing well. Jesus, are we still looking at you as the Messiah, or are we looking for someone else? You're not doing what we expected. Jesus will disappoint us. God will disappoint us. We will disappoint each other. We cannot see the whole picture because we have limited, finite views of reality. We are sinful. We will miss God's purpose, and we will make mistakes. We will see through a glass darkly, as Paul puts it. Only one can fulfill our desires and our hopes and our expectations. That's the living God. And we often misunderstand what God wants to do that. The Messiah will not be controlled by our hopes and expectations. Earl Palmer's commentary on John 1 has this to say: Jesus both fulfills and disappoints. He fulfills and disappoints John the Baptist. Jesus does not do what the great prophet John had expected him to do. There's both in Jesus a mixture of fulfillment and disappointment. The fact that Jesus so marvelously disappoints all our expectations of what we think the Messiah should be is in itself one of the most eloquent proofs of his true messiahship, Palmer says. He goes on to say, Jesus is not possessed by our expectations, as he is not possessed even by our hopes and dreams and by the ones of so great a man as John the Baptist. We do not determine who Messiah is or what Messiah will do. Sometimes people have a view of God that God's going to do whatever they want. The pastor has enough faith, the pastor can make God do whatever they want. When I was in Dallas as a pastor, there was a group of small group gatherings that were praying for a young man who was dying of cancer. The groups got together and prayed, "Lord, heal this man." John got worse. They'd get more people together and pray for him, "Lord, heal this man. We love him. We have faith that you can do it." John got worse. Finally, in a prayer meeting, I said, "Lord, it's become evident that we've been praying for a long time for his healing. You're not doing it. If it is your will, help him to find your powerful presence in the midst of his suffering and death." Oh, well, I had people turn on me in anger and say, "Pastor, how could you do that? How could you have such a lack of faith? Don't you believe God can heal him?" We don't like to have our expectations challenged. We create a theology that says we can control God, even in our prayers. When John died, he said, "You know, as I come close to my last days, I am so glad that I have people who have come from everywhere to pray for me. It's an amazing thing. I am so glad that Jesus Christ has become real to me in the midst of my suffering. I know him to be the Messiah who suffers with me." What can we expect from leadership who follows Messiah? The first thing we must reassert is that there is no leader who is Messiah. Leaders point to the Messiah and they testify to the light, but leaders are not Messiah. Christian leaders, the word Christian has to do with the ones who follow the Christ or the Messiah. These are messianic leaders. Messianic leaders have a mission from God. They have a purpose. Messianic leaders are self-aware. John the Baptist knew who he was not, and he knew who he was. Messianic leaders are humble. John went on to say, "I am not worthy to untie the sandals of the coming Jesus." Messianic leaders are truth tellers. They're in touch with biblical truth. They are in touch with the incarnational truth of Jesus, and they are in touch with their own personal truth. They tell the truth about themselves. Messianic leaders know why things are going the way they are going, because they understand the very real nature of God. There's meaning and theology and purpose in them. Messianic leaders know Jesus personally. And when they know Jesus, they know they are not Messiah. Messianic leaders may have a crisis of conviction. They may have doubts. They may make mistakes. They may not be able to solve all problems, but they know who can. Messianic leaders follow Jesus Christ, but in doing so, they live with ambiguity, paradox, unanswered questions, and mystery. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Anointed One. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is also the Suffering Servant. He shows us that to be a messianic follower and leader is to be a servant leader who is willing to suffer and give one's life for other people. Jesus is the Messiah who empowers his followers to serve him with dignity, love, and grace. Jesus Christ is Messiah. Amen.